Is it right you do a whole podcast about keeping up appearances?
Yes.
Wow. All about keeping up appearances.
It's niche.
Yeah, listen, people love niche.
People love niche and people love keeping up appearances.
There you go.
Here he is, Marathon Man.
Got Jamie Medal.
Well done, Bob.
Have you got the marathon shirt on?
I have, yeah. just being an extra bad gimp.
Yeah.
Are you still in London now?
No, got the train back this afternoon.
How are you feeling?
Apart from me left big toe, absolutely fine.
Is that just from toeing in it though?
No, someone trod on my foot yesterday, so yeah, surprisingly okay.
Best marathon you've done?
Yeah, by about 10 minutes, I think.
I meant the overall experience. I mean, that's very impressive as well.
I prefer Dublin as a city and obviously Liverpool, but it was amazing how like enormous everything was. Like the crowds everywhere. And
was it just constant, the crowds, really? Yeah.
Yeah, constant. There were parts of them were more busy than others, but like it was pretty chocker everywhere.
What was your favourite bit, Bob? Like favourite part of London's and running?
Going over Tower Bridge was pretty good.
That was mine, yeah. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. Just second.
What did you do yours in, Sean?
I didn't do it under 4. I think I was staying in Tanner the other day. I can't quite remember. I think I was 4:10, something like that. But my mistake was I got too excited.
Set off too quick.
Set off way too quick. Because it's just like, it's so good.
Your mistake was getting beat by one of them people in the big suits, wasn't it?
Big bowl of tomato sauce.
Yeah, I got way too excited and just sprinted. And then after like 2 miles, I was goosed.
Gassed completely.
Yeah.
Oh, you've done two or three?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 5.
Have you? What's your best time?
3:53.
Good going on that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Liverpool, my second Liverpool one.
I thought only Liverpool only had the half.
No, I mean, I did mine years ago, didn't I? My first one was like
2012, wasn't it? It was when we were in Neil Rose, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was, second year of uni. So, yeah, 2012. It was, end of 2012. So, 12 years ago. So, they had different marathons then.
Yeah, that's right.
I did them before they were cool, Cal.
Yeah, well done. You're probably a trailblazer in the marathon world.
If I had an Instagram, then
I've always said that.
I'd be like you.
Could be. You'd be with the lads.
Yeah, but there'd be no one to follow me because I was the only one running marathons back then.
Yeah, you were.
Just me. I've
always said that. It was you and the person in the rhino costume.
Yeah, it was a straight shootout and he beat me.
At least no injuries, though, for the weekend, which has done you a favour.
It's massively done me a favour, yeah.
I'm carrying a little niggle, but...
Say that again.
I'm carrying a little niggle.
What's the injury?
Hamstring.
Alan was on 4 to YouTube pulling the strings.
He pulled his hamstring.
Like I'm pulling a caravan these days, it's honestly.
He beat me in the marathon as well.
So welcome to this week's episode of Keeping Up Appearances. We are back as a normal 4 this week. We were meant to have a guest, but he was unable to be here. So we hope he's all right. And we send a massive congratulations to our marathon runner, Bob, who hit a PB in the London Marathon at the weekend. So well done to him. If you can check out our Twitter, try and get onto his donations page and donate if you can. But first, listen to this podcast and I'll hand you over to Sean, who has got a very rushed any given Saturday for us, maybe, but high scoring I've heard. So we'll see how we get on.
I've got high expectations here, though. So our matches this week are from Saturday, February 5th, 2011. Which
I think I know. Okay. Is it going to be Everton Blackpool? Is it that same day?
It is that day, yeah. Your knowledge is ridiculous, you know, Tosh. But yeah, that is the Everton Blackburn and the Arsenal Newcastle 4-0. That's the same day.
Yeah.
So hopefully Tosh doesn't remember any of the other games. There was actually so many high scoring games in this on this day. But the first one we're going to go for is Wigan 4, Blackburn 3. Each team has three scorers.
For Wigan, is one of the scorers a striker?
Yes.
Is he Egyptian?
No.
Did he play for Liverpool?
No.
Has he been as one of the Wigan scorers being mentioned multiple times on this podcast as being an enemy of Everton in that era?
No.
Not to Wigan games, we have Wigan. Paul Sean is never the answer.
I think we should save that for like the last week of the podcast in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
On a big blowout.
Is one of the Wigan goal scorers ginger?
He is.
Is it Ben Watson?
It is Ben Watson, yeah. He got the fourth, so the winner.
Another Palace link there as well.
Is the Wigan scorer, could you put Boss after his first name to make a nice clothing brand?
You could.
I couldn't remember his nationality. That was Jerry. The only other question I could ask without saying that.
Colombia?
Is he Colombian?
I think so.
He is Colombian.
Good knowledge, Bob. Hugo Rodriguez.
Correct. So that's two of the three Wigan goal scorers.
Have you played with one of these Wigan scorers?
No.
Oh, for your other pick. Do you want to just tell a story anyway? Or?
I've told this too many times. So.
Tell it again.
Nah, don't. another Wigan one.
Is one of the Wigan scorers, well, was he a TV show presenter?
Bradley Walsh.
I don't remember Dale Winton playing for Wigan.
Did he not?
Rest in peace.
Long blonde hair.
No.
I still don't know who you're talking about.
Bullard. Bulldog.
Ah.
Vanessa Felt? Come on. I'll say this now, is you should be getting this player.
Who?
You three. Bob in particular, maybe.
Did he play for Everton?
Yes.
So you're left back?
No.
James McCarthy.
Correct.
Sorry. James McCarthy got
two that day.
There was a question mark at the end of it, wasn't there, Bob?
He scored two.
His last goals.
Blackburn then was this fella. Okay, I don't know. I was going to say, is he from Paraguay?
No.
Would I think he's from Paraguay? Have I got him incorrect?
No, I think the player you're talking about is from Paraguay, and it's not him.
Did one of the Blackburn goal scorers? He got the same name as a Wigan, same surname as a Wigan scorer.
No. Oh, no.
Did he win the European Cup with Porto in 2004?
That's the same person Callum was talking about, I think.
Oh, I didn't. I wasn't even listening. I was thinking of a question. Yeah, I've just realised, yeah.
I don't know how to ask this question, so I might just ask his name. Is it Jason Roberts?
Correct.
I couldn't think of a question. Did he
also used to play for Wigan?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Did he used to present 606 for a bit?
Was he in our year? Wasn't there a Jason Roberts in our year?
Same fella.
Was he cousin or nephew of Cyril Regis as well or something? I think he was. Rest in peace, Cyril.
Did one of the Blackburn goal scorers have like the same letter initials?
Yep.
Yeah, is it David Dunn?
It is, but you could have asked a well better question for that.
I know. I could have said, did he mess up a skill?
Especially famously. On the Soccer AM vibe you were on before.
Yeah, yeah. I know, yeah.
Shame that can. But yeah, it is David Dunn.
Are we done now? Is that it now, or have we got another one?
One more Blackburn player.
Did he play for did he play for Everton?
No.
Did he play for Bob's Knowsley team?
No.
Has he got a sweet left peg?
No.
Has Bob guessed him 19 times for Maroon 5? I mean, that's for keeping up appearances.
No.
Is it Benny McCarthy?
Is it Ruben Rashina?
Who's he?
I don't know. He just played for Blackburn.
No, it is not.
Is he a striker?
No.
Midfielder?
No.
Defender?
Michel Salgado?
No.
Is he a big, massive centre half?
Yes.
Could you have danced him on Strictly Come Dancing? Chris Samba.
Chris Samba, correct.
Well done.
Did well, eh? Next one is Stoke 3, Sunderland 2. Two goal scorers for each team.
Does Callum want his boots?
No.
Did the Stoke scorer, is he Jamaican?
Nope.
Is he massive?
No. Well, he is quite tall, yeah. I'd say they're both quite tall.
Does he have really wide teeth?
No.
Has he been answering this before? But I didn't know the country he came from as well.
I don't think it's a player you're talking about, but this player has been an answer on this before.
Ooh. Is he a striker, did we say? Sorry.
There's one of them's a striker.
Stoke. It's not Crouch, not Cameron Jones. Oh, it's not that fella, the one who used to play for Man United.
That
Juif.
Oh, no. The striker's not been mentioned on this before.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he has anyway.
Is he English?
No.
Is he from Trinidad and Tobago?
No.
Is there a striker in one of them?
Yep. Both teams got a striker.
Is the other player Stoke who's been an answer before Irish?
No.
Is he a defender?
Yeah.
And he's the tall one?
Well, they're both fairly tall.
I think Bob said in the other... Is it Huth? Bob said in the other week.
It is Huth. That was last week, yeah.
2 weeks in a row, Huth.
And Huth actually got two in that game.
God.
So the other ones... I reckon this Stoke striker is quite hard based on the fact I didn't know he played for Stoke. But you may have, if you know what I mean. But I couldn't remember him at Stoke.
Could you give him one of his more notable clubs, maybe?
Not now. I'll do that at the end if you haven't got him.
How long are you giving us?
Sunderland.
You can move on to Sunderland and come back if you want.
Sunderland is one of also you said one of them is striker.
Yeah.
Is the striker English?
No.
Is he so what I was thinking played for Stoke at that time?
Who?
Cameron Jones?
No.
Probably too early to be a little striker who like played for Tottenham and West Ham.
No, not him.
Not a fan.
You said he's not English, didn't you?
Oh, yep. Sorry.
You've got an English player there, but just not the striker.
Did the English player go on to captain Liverpool?
No.
Did he end up going to jail?
No, but I think this fella might have had issues in the past, but it's not the one you're thinking of.
Issues in the past.
But I might have made that up. So don't
might
let
be libelous.
Don't let that. No, I'm just thinking you might be thinking of Robins. I might have made that up.
Did the striker play for another Premier League club?
No.
Oh, has he been announced? Was he Ghanaian?
He was Ghanaian.
Is that Asamoah Gyan? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got another English Sunderland player.
Yep.
Did he play for other Premier League clubs?
Yes.
Did he wear really big shorts?
I don't know, Puff.
Yeah, I know who he means.
Is it Lee Casamol?
Oh, no, not Lee Casamol, no.
He does wear big shorts.
He does wear big shorts, yeah, he's right on that one, Bob.
Did he get booked in that game? The answer is probably.
Yeah, probably did, yeah.
Was he a midfielder?
He didn't play in that game.
If I scored.
Like Bob Jones.
Rude.
Sorry, what did you say, Tosh?
No, I think Callum said it.
He said he's a midfielder.
Yes.
Winger.
Yeah. But he also played in the middle.
Oh, did he come through the youth ranks at Man United?
How do you know this stuff, Bob? This is just ridiculous. Yes, he did.
Is it Kieran Richardson?
It is, yeah, well done.
It was when you said winger, but he played in the middle because he was a bit of a utility man, wasn't he, really?
Yeah, he was.
He played in defence a bit as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Good shout though, Bob. Very good.
Right, so it's just a Stoke striker.
We have the clue now.
He played for other Prem clubs, yeah.
He played for one other Prem club.
Oh.
Oh no, he didn't. He played for two.
Come on, just give us it now, Ira.
Are they still in the Premier League now?
Yep. So, I don't know if you know, but Tosh is getting really bored. So I'm not giving a clue purposely just to annoy him.
She listens,
it'll
be bored, Sean.
I'm just going to say, he's not bored. Am I doing what the listeners
are thinking? Yeah, but you can just edit it so it looks like we're more swift, can't you?
Is the one club that he's like synonymous with almost?
Yep. I'll tell you this.
Are we actually, what team are we talking about again?
Oh, God.
Norwich.
Stoke Wigan. Striker, who's synonymous with another Premier League team.
Okay.
Who wore claret and blue.
Still three of them in the Premier League, though.
Mm.
Which one?
Alphabetically. Did he play for Aston Villa?
Yes.
Oh, did he play for Valencia in the European Cup final in 2000?
He did.
Is it John Carew?
It is John Carew.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about him playing for Spain.
Yeah, I didn't know he was
I did as well, yeah.
Yeah. Right, well done, everyone. So. Yeah, I reckon I'll give you the win there. Fair play. And I hope it wasn't too boring for everyone at home.
I hope you went as bored as Tosh was. And I hope you listened more than Tosh did as well.
That's rubbish when you don't cut out every 10 minutes. Like, I miss out all them days.
Right, so thanks for any given Saturday, Sean, a good win for the lads. We'll move on for one win for the lads to another win for the lads yesterday and speak about Everton's much needed 3 points against Nottingham Forest yesterday. Anybody have any initial thoughts of what they watched?
I've only seen it on Match of the Day, unfortunately. But seeing some of the coverage of the Nottingham Forest fans being absolutely classless in the poverty chanting while Beto was unconscious, so I've got absolutely no sympathy for them whatsoever with their whinging about supposed decisions going against them.
And you probably would have had some sympathy as well, Bob. You're famous for your sympathy with Nottingham Forest. So.
Yeah. Scabbed.
Nah, so I don't think it was a classic game, was it? I don't think either team were particularly good. I think we just yesterday sort of took a couple of chances. They weren't even chances, really. Just shots, weren't they? But yeah. Sort of something we've been missing. We've had nothing like that, really. So a much-needed win, as Bob alluded to, some potentially dodgy penalty decisions. What did you think of the penalties?
I thought one of them was blatant. The other two were...
Yeah.
The handball one would have been harsh, I think. And he just kind of turned and it hit him. And I don't think his arms out, but I don't think it's in an unnatural position given the movement he just made. The one on Gio Reyna, I think, is just not enough.
I thought that one was a dive.
Yeah, he just kind of, he doesn't even like fall over in a way that he would have been kicked. I think the third one, he's just got wrong side of him, hasn't he, and kind of had some. It's one of them, isn't it, where if it was the other way around, we've all said definite penalty. But I think if you look at it and it's been given, it's probably, I don't know, I think it's probably a bit light. I think that there would just be so many fouls if those things were given.
I'm amazed none of them were given, considering our luck, and especially with Mark Clattenburg being in the crowd.
Yeah.
Him having a moan at decisions not going for him at Goodison is quite incredible, isn't it?
I don't know about you, Callum. In the ground, the third one was the one that felt least like a penalty. You know, when it happened, it looked like Jamie did look like he got the ball, didn't it?
Yeah, I thought he kind of just nicked in front of him, kind of thing, and got it.
The first two, obviously, just being pessimistic, I thought, like, God, the first one looked like a pen. I thought when I seen it that, and now the more I see it, the more I think, well, it would have been very soft. And the second one, no one understands the handball ball rule anymore. No one knows what's a penalty. I don't even think the referees do. So I don't know.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? Do you know, you talk about that Ashley Young one. Like, the one that got given against Wan-Bissaka in the United game was almost like a carbon copy. And you think, again, when you say no one knows the rule, it is actually mad that those two things happened at the same afternoon.
Yeah.
Totally different decisions.
And again, there was one Grealish one as well, wasn't there? No, it was slightly different, but again, you know, his arm was away from his body and stuff like that. I don't know.
I think the only thing with Ashley Young, as I said, I think it's just because he has, like, the balls came over him, and as he's turned around and just being kicked at him, he's not moved towards the ball. I think that's probably.
I think had he been movement.
Following him and running with him, and he's done it, I think it's probably a penalty. But the crowd went silent.
Oh yeah,
when that happened, we were all just waiting for it, and even obviously as it kind of, we just sort of waiting for the announcements to come on. But I don't know. I know they've moaned about it, but you'd think any one of them would have been soft to give, but to have three of those in one game, you probably do think just lower on averages you get given one of them. But
and they have had to the defense some bad decisions this year,
well deserved.
And again, to be honest, I think I'm one of the few, but I don't mind the statements. I quite liked it.
No,
I
actually, it's pathetic.
I know, again, it is, but it's one of them where I listened to Gary Neville afterwards and listen to his podcast, and he was saying about, you know, there's ways of doing things, you know, your manager can come out and say, well, that happens all the time and no one does anything. At least now there is something, like, and again, they've probably picked the wrong time for it, maybe, but again, as Callum just says, it feels like they've got three decisions there. And also the third one, you know, as everyone's made point of, Anthony Taylor's sort of gesture that he's got the ball, so when it's clear that he hasn't got the ball, it's clear he's made a mistake there. So I don't know, I didn't mind it, because I think teams should do things like that. I think they should be saying things like, well, you know, we're not happy with that, you know, and because a lot of teams do get away with murder, and seems like Wolves and Forest jump to mind as people, they've had a lot of decisions go against them this year. And again, it is slightly embarrassing. I wouldn't want Everton doing it, but I quite liked Forest doing it and everyone laughing at them.
Yeah. He's made you look a right knob. It's that, isn't it? Because they come out of it absolutely appallingly, don't they?
And again, Clattenburg, he's just one. I just can't. I know, obviously, for obvious reasons, going back to 2007, was that 2008?
Yeah.
But he's just, he's horrible.
Slimy, isn't he?
He's got the nerve to do anything after, like, all the things he's done. He's just horrible. So, I'm glad. I don't mind. I quite like Forrest. I don't mind Forrest. Obviously, I've got a good friend who's a Forrest fan, but for him, for Clattenburg, I want everything. Just want him to get the sack.
I thought you were going to say something more severe there, Tosh, but...
Not on this podcast, Bob. Always the professional.
When the recording finishes.
Yeah. Sean, you were saying you watched the Coventry game, though, as well. What were your thoughts on that one?
But you know the way there's been all the talk this week about, like, replays and how it'll impact lower league teams and stuff? That match yesterday was just, like, the perfect...
Yeah.
The perfect response to that, in that you've got this, not that they're like tiny Coventry, but like, because they're doing all right this year and last year as well. But think of where they've been last couple of years. They're like almost like on like the precipice of the Premier League again. And they get such a, what would have been an unbelievable scalp. Like, you've got people talking about saying like could have been one of the biggest moments in FA Cup history. Like, it was massive. You know, when it went in live, you genuinely felt like it was huge. And then,
being ruined.
I remember when the first replay came on, and I'm looking going, that could be pulled back for offside. That
I did think offside at the time in actual play.
Yeah.
Like, genuine, because I thought there was another lad running onto it, and I said to him, I was watching my brother, I said, like, he should leave that to the other lads. Like, I did think offside.
But then, do you know when you look at the replay and stuff, and or like when they've got the lines out on the VAR, I know I'm not breaking any new ground. It's all been covered online and that, but come on. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's not in the spirit of football, that, is it?
It's not. Like, no. That game, that end of that game was honestly, for everyone other than United fans, that was just magic. That
it was.
It really was. Going from 3-0 down to win 4-3 against Man United, it was just massive. And it's just been ruined. And then goes to the penalty shooter. As soon as it went to pens, you knew it wasn't their day.
It sounds mad to say it. Even when United missed the penalty, that in my head made me think, no, that's even more so. The commentary aren't winning here.
100%, yeah.
And I think to play devil's advocate, obviously, I think you can't do all this moan about referee, and then when something that is offside is given offside, it's hard. Yeah, but I am with you, Sean. Yeah, you know, it was just that would have been unbelievable. And I think you made a good point about the all this week. Obviously, it's nothing to do with replays, but someone I was listening to the Guardian podcast, and he was saying, like, that's just the point that, like, when all these people who downgrade the FA Cup, that's what the FA Cup can do. That, like, that would have been one of the greatest things ever. And it was unbelievable. And commentary was just fantastic, weren't they? And
Ellis Sims, baller.
Yeah, but he was. And again, I said as well, when I was watching, you know, at the end of the game, obviously, regardless, well, just know if you were a Coventry fan, just like, how proud would you have been of them? Like, the way they did that. And I said something like that. When was the last time you actually felt anything like that about Evan?
Yes,
I said when the fan punched the Leon player. That was the last time he said that. But yeah, no, I say, like, I felt that just so desperate for them to win there. And obviously, the way football works, unfortunately, it didn't happen, did it?
Well, I think that's it. So you're saying, like, all the fans are probably going home, they're proud. And it's almost like, oh, that's what all they should feel. They shouldn't, because they, realistically, if, I know the correct decision was made, but you think they should have won that game. They shouldn't just be going home going with a pat on the back. They should be going home going, we're in the FA Cup final here against City. Yeah. But, like, it's just because, I know that when you look at the replays and that, that's what happens when you come up against the big six, isn't it? Like, if you don't get battered, you're like, oh, he's right. Done well there. And I just think it's so sad. But yeah, that was like perfect advert for the FA Cup. Well, it should have been the perfect advert for the FA Cup.
I think it still was.
Yeah, it was, but I don't know. It left you feeling sad almost when it.
Yeah, it was. It was happened. Very, like, emotional. Yeah,
I can't imagine the celebrations in the crowd there. To then, what, you know, to go from up there, I can't imagine what that must have been like.
But the thing is as well, like, you know, right now, every time a goal goes in, as I say, being pessimistic, I'm already thinking, how are they going to disallow that? But Coventry obviously aren't used to VAR. They probably never had that sort of, like, they just celebrate and I think they're through it. So, yeah, it's just great. Great and not great, but...
Yeah.
At least he still celebrated the goal, though. You think, well, he still had that moment thinking he must have had a minute or so where that was just unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, that must have been the best feeling ever.
Yeah, and that is the minute or so after you score a goal, like, that is the best feeling. So, I mean, terrible after that. The next 10 or so were awful for them, but yeah. Okay, then we'll move on to Marooned 5 then. So, as always, a quick review of last week. We looked about the best records in the Premier League era. And the winner was Brad Friedel and his record amount of games. I think I was robbed there. That's just a boring one, that. Mine was exciting.
I was robbed.
Yours wasn't even a record, Bob. <sorry. laughs> So, yeah, I don't think so. But, yeah, Brad Friedel, fair play to him. He's going to join Jamie Jones, Lee Trundle, Jason Kumas, and all the rest of the lads.
Maybe some goalkeeping practice together.
Yeah, could. Oh, yeah.
Jamie Jones and
Friedel's Steve just become the second best goalkeeper on the island, probably, hasn't he?
Goalkeeper's union.
Him and Stephen Bywater from the Derby team. This week, in ode to our marathon man, Bob, we're going to pick our favourite players who've had a marathon of a career, so a huge amount of longevity in their career. So, yeah, we're going to pick our favourites. Doesn't have to be Premier League. It can be any sort of thing. I think most of us have gone a bit out of the Premier League this week, which is quite good. Shall I go? I think I ever go first. So I'm going to pick... I sort of struggled to pick originally. I'm going to give an honourable mention to Sir Stanley Matthews, who I thought was the obvious one. But obviously not, maybe not to a lot of the younger listeners who famously played football till he was 50. He won the Ballon d'Or at the age of 41. I think the first ever Ballon d'Or winner. He also his famous FA Cup final win in 1953. I think it was the age of 38 or 39 when he was man of the match in that. But the person I'm actually going to go for is Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who is a player I love. And I always sort of remember hearing, I always like that idea of players you don't see a lot of. Like when you hear about them and you see them in Euros and World Cups for Sweden, but I didn't watch a lot of Italian football where he obviously spent a lot of his early career and only really seen him when he came to United at the age of, I think, about 35, 36. And he was just brilliant for them. And I think, doing a bit of research, I think he scored a lot, I think 60-odd% of his goals past the age of 30, if not more. I think I couldn't find the actual stat, but in 2020, he'd scored 54% of his goals. And he still won the league 3 years later with Milan at the age of like 40. Just a brilliant footballer. He scored that famous overhead kick against England above the age of 30, like one of the greatest goals I've ever seen live. Yeah, you know, after the age of 30, he still played for Milan, PSG, United, LA Galaxy, and then Milan again. And I just think, one of them footballers who I always like it when, at that time when he joined United, I don't know if I'm right in saying, I feel there's a bit of a English snobbery where they don't take a player seriously who hasn't really played in England. There was people saying, oh, you know, he's playing for PSG, wouldn't do it. And then he came at 36 to United and he was just brilliant. And I think always a player I loved. I remember reading his book. I brought his book. Natasha's book club were back. I Am Zlatan, a really interesting autobiography. A bit of a mad cat, but yeah, brilliant footballer and a very entertaining character. And again, just wasn't for injuries. He'd probably still be playing now because I think he had a couple of bad ones towards the end. But yeah, I'm going to present my case for Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Any thoughts?
Hard to argue against that, really. I think he'll rival my suggestion as a player that aged like a fine wine, to use that old cliche. Unbelievable and great character. Bit of a knobhead, but someone you love to hate or hate to love might be the other way around. He was a genius, wasn't he?
I think as well, like, just obviously you sort of, I haven't really talked about him as a footballer. He was obviously a goal scorer, you know, like he was massive, wasn't he? But he was so like acrobatic. He was so like he was just a technically brilliant footballer as that goal he scores early on for Ajax. He like seems to dribble in a short space like, round everyone, but yeah, just a great footballer. What are you gonna say? Sorry, Callum, did I interrupt you there? No.
I think it was a great chance. I think you're right in the fact that you always like loved watching him when you could watch him. You always thought he was going to do something, either as maybe Bob said, something mad, or as you said there, something like great. It's like one of those like kind of really exciting players that. And I think, the way he played, I'm not even sure like lends itself to like any longevity in careers. It wasn't as if like he kind of like strolled around and done nothing. He was kind of always in the thick of it. So to like do that and do that for so long in a career, I think is impressive. So good. So I think that's a fair shout. What age did he retire? You might have said that.
I think he was over 40. He retired. His last game, I think, was 2023 for Milan. He was born 1981. So I think he was 41 at that time. Right. You know, it's still playing for like the highest level. So he won a league for Milan the year before as well. Like, you know, I think obviously he went from United to Galaxy and you thought that was probably the end of his career, like going to America, then to come back and do that. I think he went there like on loan for a bit and then he went back in January and you thought that was just the end of the season. He ended up staying on for a couple more. So yeah, great. Anyone want to jump in next?
I'll go next because I kind of started the segue in with the aging like fine wine comments about Zlatan. But I probably would say that my player is a clearer example of this. So he signed for Real Madrid in 2012, I believe, and he was voted the worst signing in La Liga for that year ahead of Alex Song. He's since gone on to win 5 Champions League, 4 Super Cups, 3 La Liga titles and the Ballon d'Or. He was the first player other than the greatest player of all time and Cristiano Ronaldo to win since 2007. He's still going strong now, probably waning slightly with the options at Real Madrid about in midfield now, but he's still racking up quite a lot of appearances at the age of 38. and I am talking about Luka Modric. A player I really enjoyed watching when he played for Tottenham, but was obviously very glad to see the back of him because he was a genius back then, and he's since remoulded himself as more of a deep lying playmaker. He's more played further forward, I think, for Tottenham. But yeah, he can just do everything, can't he? Always loved watching him play, and yeah, I think he's made like 300 odd appearances for Real Madrid, probably go down as one of their all time greats, and you don't do that for being a bad player, do you?
Absolutely not. Yeah, and probably 5 European Cups, you'd guess, for them as well. 5 or 6 European Cups for Real Madrid. Did you say? Sorry, yeah.
I think it was 4 European Super Cups. I didn't have and check. I was getting bored myself looking at his honours for Real Madrid. So it's that 4 European Super Cups and probably Super Cup of Spain as well.
Yeah, no, just a joke of a player, really, wasn't he? Unbelievable. I think, yeah, another one of the, like, he came, I didn't mention for Zlatan, but like from a terrible background, Zlatan had to like steal stuff and steal things. I think Modric was famously from like war torn Croatia, where I read a book earlier on the year, they were talking about him, like, you know, he used to play games and like they used to like always the threat of like a air raid siren coming off. They had to finish the game and go in because bombs were coming and things like that. So, but yeah, just an absolute genius for football, and unfortunately now coming to an end. But I think most people thought his swan song was probably the 2018 World Cup, and he still, you know, after that, like played in the next Euros, played in the next World Cup, and was still brilliant. So, I wouldn't mind if he was to beat Zlatan, to be fair.
Yeah, what a player, and still like obviously getting game time and still doing a job.
Missing penalties for,
like, Real Madrid, like, you know, obviously for the very highest level, and there's always that like kind of thing of, if he was English, would he have got through the system? Which I think is interesting because with his stature and stuff, and
maybe more English, so these days. But it's that's what you used to say about people like Xavi and Iniesta, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. England really wouldn't have like appreciated him. But yeah, what a career, and long career. And so obviously make that big move to Real Madrid back then, and still be there now, given like what the players Real Madrid would have had in the last 10 years or whatever, to still be there and still be part, like much part of that squad, is very impressive. I think, is it Zagreb who are trying to sign him? Now they're trying to stop him from retiring. I think it's Zagreb.
Yeah,
that's where he started, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they're trying. I'm sure like the owner of Zagreb bought like a full page spread in. Is it Marca? Is Marca the
Spanish Madrid
market? Yeah. That's like a big advertisement to try and get him to sign for Zagreb for next season. But I think Ancelotti wants him as a coach, doesn't he? But yeah, what a player.
He also wants to take it on because a coach.
Yeah, it's true. I think it looks like, I think Ancelotti sort of asked him to be part of the coaching staff, I think. And Zagreb was trying to thing on. But yeah, it'd be like Tosh on Sunday. It'd be like Tosh would be a Modric role, mate. Or close to retiring.
Yeah. Close to retiring, missing penalties.
Nah, good shout, Bob.
Yeah, I like that one. Sean or Cal, any preference?
I don't mind going. Yeah, I am going for Giorgio Chiellini, the 39-year-old Italian centre-back. Started his career, from what I can see, at the age of 15. So the 15, 10 and 16 at Livorno. That's when he made his debut back in 2000. And was playing for Juventus in 2022. So like that's a 22-year career kind of at top level at Juventus from 2004-2022. Obviously, big part of the Italy squad over that time as well. Over 100 appearances for Italy. 117 from 2004-2022, which is like amazing to be a centre back and play and like sort of a starting player for your country over that amount of time, I think is stupidly impressive. Obviously, went to Los Angeles FC last season. I think he's now a manager there, but he played 31 games in his last season as a 38, 37 year old, which I think is is quite impressive as well. Obviously, won lots, won the Serie A, loads of Euros with Italy. Yeah, I just think one of those players where, especially in the Champions League and stuff, you thought that strikers didn't like playing against him, no matter what age he was. You've seen how he kind of, obviously a bit mean as well, kind of one of those defenders you've seen him against Saka and stuff in the, was that the Euros final, was it?
That was great,
that one. Just like drags him back. I think, was it Mourinho, possibly Mourinho, who said that Chiellini has a PhD in defending. Yeah, I think it's like sort of the classic defender, like probably one of the best of like this generation. Maybe there won't be many more defenders of his mould, maybe now and in the future. But yeah, what a career, just to be at the top for that long, playing till that age. I think possibly, and I think this is maybe similar with Zlatan as well, there's maybe a thing of the longevity playing in Italy. I don't know. I think would Chiellini have been at the top for that long in England, for example? Probably not. But yeah, to do it and sort of to play for a club like Juventus and be at, you know, probably first name on a team sheet and then for Italy as well, I think is very impressive. And yeah, good longevity of career. So possibly a bit of like out-the-box thinking. He's probably not going to win. But yeah, I'll go for Giorgio Chiellini as my shout for longevity of career.
I might vote for him just because of the pull on Saka.
And Bob, that video when they knocked Tottenham out the Champions League, and he says something about it's just Tottenham, isn't it? Like, is it like, you know, he's basically saying like that's what Tottenham do, because his English is very good. Like, there's no real reason for his English to be good because obviously he never played in England. But remember, just giving a kid the interview after they'd knocked Tottenham out at their ground at Tottenham, and he's like, I can't remember what he says, but he phrased it, no, like, this is just what Tottenham do type thing. They bottle it. Yeah, no, I think it's a great shout, Carl. It's an interesting one. I think ours a lot more route one than that. My problem with it, I think, if you were going down, you mentioned that the Italian route, and obviously there's a lot of other people you potentially could have picked for, because so many of them like played as we like, you know, till the age. Yeah, Maldini, Costa, yeah. Curtin, and people like that, like Buffon, etc.
Stoney.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think he. I was just looking then, because I don't remember him playing. He didn't play in the World Cup in 2006 when they won it, I don't think. But he obviously did win his competition in the last Euros, didn't he? And I think for my, I think you made the right point, Cal. It's like Italy always seem to have, and like throughout history, have always got them like defenders like that. You think of like Chiellini, Bonucci, before that it was like Cannavaro, Materazzi, and before that Baresi, Maldini, and before that like Gentile and Fischetti and people like that. You don't know whether they will keep producing players like that, because I don't know. I couldn't tell you who would be the Italian centre back now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whereas you always knew them. They were just.
I think you've made up a couple of names there, like Sosh.
Which one?
I've forgotten what you said.
You said Fazenda. Like that.
Fischetti, I said.
Fischetti.
And there was also, who's the one? There was another one for Juve, I think Soraya or something. I think, yeah, spelt with SC. But yeah, I think that style might be going now, where maybe you don't see Italy producing them sort of players. They don't seem to produce many brilliant players at the moment, but Italy. But yeah, I think, yeah, I was a big fan of Chiellini, so I think it's a good shout. Any other thoughts?
No, I mean, his early career, obviously it was all fixed, wasn't it? So there's only so much credit we can give him when you're getting bungs.
Yeah, or, a bit tarnished.
Yeah. But yeah, also, wasn't he the one that got bit by Suarez?
One of many.
Yeah, one of the high-profile ones anyway.
One of his victims.
Yeah. So he survived that, so...
he didn't really make anything. That much of a big deal of it as well, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
And he was sort of like matey with him by the end. Yeah, a bit mad. But he was that sort of defender, as Cam said. He was probably like winding Suarez up and like kicking lumps out of Suarez off the ball and things like that, wasn't he? He's like, people like him, you don't see all the stuff he's doing. I would have thought. I've never seen him live, but do you want to move on to yours to finish it off, Sean?
Yeah, go on. So mine this week, I wouldn't necessarily say it's outside the box. I reckon mine's very much inside the box. But I think the difference for mine is mine comes from like maybe the era, the generation before all of yours. Because my option this week is Teddy Sheringham, who I think probably when most people think of like Premier League players, at least that have played for a long time. A lot of time you'll think of loads of keepers, and then another one will be Teddy Sheringham. But I think even though it might be a bit more obvious in that respect, I think the credit goes in that, again, the fact that he did it in the generation maybe before yours, where like football was a very, very different game when he started and when he was playing a lot of his career. And the fact that he found all his success as well at the back end of his career. So like, if you look at like, obviously, I mean, Zlatan famously, a lot of people say he didn't really win much in terms of like, didn't win Champions League, did he? Played at like so many teams that won Champions Leagues but didn't win one. You've got Modric that is, how old was he when he went to Madrid?
27, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's not that young, is it? But yeah. Yeah, I think Teddy Sheringham just strikes me as someone that shouldn't really have played to that long. And in his generation, probably should have faded out a lot more, but ended up finding lots of success. So from my research, he made his debut in 1983 for Millwall before moving to Tottenham, I think was his next move. And then obviously finally moving on to Man United. But again, everything he did in his career, he seemed to do quite late on. So he didn't get his first England cap till he was about 27 and then went on to be a very successful player there. At Tottenham, he didn't win much as far as I know, if anything. And then obviously moved to United and won his first Premier League and won his first Champions League, or only Champions League, at the age of 33. And not only that, to score obviously in the final, put his name down as, there can't be many older Champions League final goal scorers than Sheringham.
Good question, yeah. He scored in the FA Cup final the Saturday before as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Maldini, I can think of. I'm sure you'll know more. But yeah. Yeah, I just think he had somewhat of like an understated career as well. He was never someone that was like the first name on a team sheet necessarily. He was never the star man. He was always kind of the player that helped the star man to be the player he was, if you know what I mean. Like, they talk about Jurgen Kohl. Andy Cole also famously hated Teddy Sheringham, but played unbelievably well with him. Alan Shearer at England, the reason that golden generation of strikers didn't get many caps was because Teddy Sheringham was there, and he was playing with Shearer, and Shearer always says he's one of the best strike partners he's ever had. And I think to be that man, almost like that Dennis Bergkamp, who obviously playing in a similar position, but is almost like the man to help the main man be that guy. You do go under the radar. And I think Teddy Sheringham has gone under the radar to have the long career he did, spanning from like early 80s to 2008 is insane. Even playing at, he played in the FA Cup final 2006 at the age of 39 and then eventually retired at the age of 41. He's the oldest outfield player to ever play in the Premier League, and he's the oldest goal scorer in Premier League history. And as I say, he's got to be one of the oldest Champions League final goal scorers. And I think to have all those to your name, but not get the plaudits to, like, we've got a Ballon d'Or winner here, we've got Zlatan, we've got, you know what I mean, the Euros winner, World Cup winner, and Teddy Sheringham doesn't really get the recognition. So, yeah, I'm not very confident in my win this week, but yeah, I just thought it was a good case to put forward.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I mean, if I was just looking at his Wikipedia, before the Premier League even started and existed, he made 220 appearances.
Did he, yeah?
Before the Premier League even started, and then he's still playing in the Premier in, 2007?
Yeah.
Which is like on that. Thing. Sorry. I was about to say that he scored, I think he might have scored against Liverpool for Forest in the first weekend of the Premier League.
The first ever televised Sky goal it was, yeah.
That's all right, yeah. Sorry.
Big Shagger as well.
Well, yeah. That's a big plus. Because Daniel Lloyd back in the day. Jamie O'Hara knows.
Get him on the island.
Jamie O'Hara's still paying. But I think as well, like, what age did you say he was when he won the Champions League, Sean?
33.
I think the year or two later, he won PFA Football of the Year as well.
Did he,
Yeah, because he had a year
might have been the year after he scored lots of goals when United did, the only one in the league, I think, but I'm sure he won that. So I imagine there's not many people who've won that older than him as well. Yeah. Yeah, I think if we'd have done a Premier League specific one, I think he'd have won that, Sean. There'd be a better case in that for someone in the Premier League, maybe Ryan Giggs, I suppose. But yeah, I think that's a good case. I think you've done well. Still trying to think of an older scorer in the Champions League. That's what my mind.
I was thinking of Didin Zaghi against Liverpool.
It's a good shout. He'd have been old, yeah. Maldini's probably a good shout. No, 5 as well. Maldini must have been pretty 36, 37. I think Puskas scored in one late on as well when they lost, I think. I remember reading that. So we'll have the answer by the end, maybe. By the end of the podcast, that's a reason to keep listening. If you got past any given Saturday.
You know, last week Tosh was giving it. Oh, Sean, you do so well to do any given Saturday. now I'm getting tethered.
No, he picked a game with 92 scorers. So,
there we go.
Right then, I think we're going to say Cristiano Ronaldo is the obvious one, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Still goal angling at the age of 40.
Should we not just do Messi though, because he's better?
Yeah, he's with again. We don't need to dignify that with saying Messi. Messi's just obviously better. But yeah, I think Ronaldo is still like his age to be doing what he is and scoring the goals he is in that elite league over there. He's doing well. So
can't go to America though, can he?
He can't. Allegedly.
The island though.
Yeah, anything goes on the island.
Where do you reckon the island is?
Next to a famous one that Callum Hudson-Odoi was visiting, we said, didn't we?
You should have stopped there and just said where Cal's been.
I nearly got dropped in it then, Cal.
That would have been bad.
Yeah, cut that out, Sean. You can tweet that.
No, repeat it.
No,
cut Hudson-Odoi.
Cut the Hudson-Odoi.
Oh, right, okay. Cal has been on Epstein Island. Leave that in.
Yeah.
Right then, let's wrap up. So, five suggestions for
Johnny Tosh. Cal's trying to defend himself, but doesn't know what to say.
I might be the victim.
Cal went to Epstein Island and still didn't get any.
That's a nice one.
Out of order, Sean.
What?
I'll drop out some things. Epstein Island's off limits, Sean, to be honest.
Epstein Island and better. What am I allowed to talk about?
Yeah. Don't disrespect the dead.
Who? Alan's career?
Right then. I don't even know what I was saying now. Yeah, okay. So our five suggestions for marathon careers are Zlatan, Luka Modric, Sheringham, Chiellini, and CR7. So
or
get yourself.
Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Yes, he was pretty poor yesterday, I thought. But get yourself over to X and vote, and let's see who we're sending to join all of the lads on the island. Right then, shall we get our game for this week?
Tosh will probably be made up, but there's only four sets of fixtures after this, so there's only four more pods.
I've got to do the Euro specials, haven't we?
No, but we'll have a bit of a gap.
Nah. Straight in.
What are we going to talk about?
Euros?
Epstein
so
Island.
We're previewing the Euros like a month.
I've marooned 5 every week of a different country. Your favourite players from that country. I've got it sorted.
No,
that's not a bad idea, actually.
What? No, it isn't.
Great idea.
I'm looking forward to a break, so I don't have to edit it.
Oh, that's your problem. You're just not committed to this. I'm coming with all these ideas.
I honestly hate you sometimes, you know.
Cal's got his flights booked for the island.
Yeah, a little break before the Euros.
We need to do a season. We need to check our predictions at the end as well.
Now, you've had a nightmare, you know, just because Tosh brought up Epstein Island. You've not been in...
I never mentioned it, the actual name.
Yeah.
For slanderous reasons.
Cal's been named.
He was actually in Scoop.
Knowing Bob the way I do, he probably will let this go. He'll probably drop it too. Right, so our games are in. We've got Three, as always, two Premier League, one Championship. So the three games are Villa-Chelsea, Spurs against Arsenal, and a Championship game of Watford versus Sunderland. So let's spin the wheel. And the game is Villa against Chelsea. Right, Tosh, what were you saying about Chelsea being worse than Everton?
Well, again, just because they beat us 6-0 doesn't mean that they're not.
It's probably comprehensive proof that we are a lot worse than Chelsea.
Well, when we beat them in December, is that proof that we were better than them then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then. Wasn't expecting to say yes to that. No, <I don't>. that made me look a bit foolish. And I'm not used to doing that on here, so...
No, it's really tarnished your rep.
Yeah, apparently...
Not as bad as Carl though, this week.
apparently they were very good against Manchester City as well. So, yeah, I think I was more making the point that for what they've done and what they are absolutely dreadful.
And you should have clarified that before you said.
Well, it wasn't on the podcast. You know, I clarify all my points in here, Bob.
He was doing it for the clips.
Yeah, exactly. And I got them. Yeah, as I say, and like even the money they've spent, the people they've gotten, they've just basically relying on Cole Palmer.
Yeah, and he's got no chin.
He is great though, and yeah, I think I did say that. Yeah. I think I did also say that on the podcast. But yeah, good luck to them. Good luck to the lads. But Villa are great. Won't slag off Villa. I think Villa are absolutely brilliant. And when we eventually do go down, maybe a sign that going down isn't the worst sort of thing. If you can get someone with a plan coming up and doing something like that.
Yeah, but we obviously won't do that, will we?
No, we won't. But at the time, they were under shock and ownership again.
Yeah.
I think when they played in the playoff final against Derby, obviously what happened to Derby, I think a lot of Villa fans said if they'd have lost that game, they'd have gone the same way as Derby with the money they'd spent and things. So that's the state they were in. But they've also employed a brilliant manager and seem to have a decent transfer policy, which we've done neither. So, but yeah, is it at Villa? Sorry, Sean. Yeah.
Here's that failure.
Again, the only thing that's going to probably hold them back, they look favourites to probably get fourth, don't they? It's the fact that they've just got a lot of games, obviously progressing through again to the semi-finals of the thing, of the Europa League, Europa Conference League, because they look better than Tottenham at the moment. But again, number of games is going to maybe come back to bite them. Predictions. Does anyone... Predictions, Sean's mouthing. I'll go first.
Oh, you have gone there, Tosh. He froze.
Oh, no. We should have done that. We should have just kept pretending he froze.
I know when I freeze because you freeze on my screen. So, it's actually
your fault.
Just
done that.
Nah.
Cal's letting the side down there. Cal's sulking because he's on the island.
You're just good to just see me in full flow today without these things.
You're not the mic, so let's hope your audio is...
I've got the mic, so...
As well. That's what I mean, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Did you have that much forward planning? You took us away with you?
Yeah.
Tell you what.
He's done his lessons with them.
The kids have never learned so much.
I was doing keeping up appearances. predictions. I'm going to go 1-2. I think Chelsea will win there. They're now they're my new favourite team.
Chelsea are boss. I'll go 1-1.
4-0 Villa.
I'll go 2-1 Villa.
Fair play. Shall we get our magic number then, Sean?
Yep. So it's all in. We've got minimum 50, maximum 450. Our number is, hopefully if I can focus, 112. I don't know if you can see that.
112. 1-1-2.
So that's not current.
No, it can be current because it's above 100.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, I tell you what, Song of the Week should be a good one. Just think of artists that have been going for years.
I was going to say, because I want to go and see ABBA Voyage after the marathon yesterday.
Good, yeah.
And Tosh is mentioned as Latin.
So Swedish, should, yeah.
It was absolutely great.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna try and go in May. I'm supposed to be going, yeah, I need to book it.
It's I think it's closing soon and moving the arena to Vegas.
So again, Tosh.
Yeah.
maybe I won't be going.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to do justice to like how good of a spectacle it is, because it is just ridiculous.
Without sounding like a gammon though, Bob, like, is it not just the big screen?
No, honestly.
Don't spoil it, Bob. Don't say anything.
No, it is brilliant. I did obviously fear that it'd be like that Tupac hologram.
Yeah. But
it's quite mind blowing, really, how convincing it is.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think it's gotta be ABBA then. And Bob's the marathon man, he's got a pick.
I think the appropriate song. I'm only really an ABBA hit man as well. So don't really...
Sorry, Bob, this is giving Callum more time to search. So good. I'm just thinking about Mamma Mia. What songs are on Mamma Mia?
Mamma Mia, I think.
Can we go thank you for the music?
No, we're going for SOS, because that's what Callum's shouting to get off the island.
Yes.
Sorry, Cal.
He looks a bit like Pierce Brosnan.
I wasn't there. You don't need to say sorry.
bringing
up straight trauma.
SOS is a good one, I reckon. Right. 1-1-2 then. Are we saying we can have current players for that then as well as the 100, the golden rule?
Yeah, we said before, yeah.
Right then, come on.
I don't know whether I've guessed this player before for Villa.
Not Morten Gams Pedersen again, is it? Can't think of anyone for Villa, so I'm going to have to go Chelsea. I'll have to just get someone current for Villa to think. I wouldn't know, they'd only played like 2 years.
I've got mine for Chelsea. But one.
I think I've got mine. I'm going Villa. And I'm 99% sure he played for Villa. Ready?
Yeah, I can't think of anything better, so I have to pick one of me three.
Right, go on then. So, time's up. Anyone like to volunteer to go first?
I don't mind going first.
Go ahead, Carl Johnny.
Yep, I've gone with a Chelsea player who talked me through all of his Chelsea appearances whilst we were on the plane to an unnamed island. I am going to go Callum Hudson-Odoi.
I
have no idea if he was around that, but he started when he was quite young.
Was he in your book?
He is named in the book, yeah.
He started when he was young? Or someone else, there were young people?
No, he started playing when he was quite young. He had a lot of injuries, but I think he's probably there. I reckon he's maybe there for like possibly 5 seasons, maybe 4 or 5 years. But he had a lot of injuries in that, so I don't know. I think he might be around 100.
I honestly wouldn't have, if you'd have said to me he played less than 50, that wouldn't have surprised me.
It was more of a, yeah, well, he had that kind of run where, I don't know, was it under Lampard?
He was linked to his time with like out of nowhere. He was linked with like Bayern Munich. What were desperate to sign him, weren't he?
He's playing right. I've never even heard him. On the Lampard for quite a while. I think he was in around the team when he won the under-17s World Cup or Euros or whatever it was.
He won one. He did win one.
He loves under-17s.
I don't know. I think he could be in. It's more for the banter, but yeah, I think he could be there. He might be around 100. He'll go with it. I think he was there for 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
Go on, you start checking then, Callum. Oh, but once you've known the other one, you've already checked that one.
Yeah, no, they've got that. No, that is 112. But yeah.
Anyone else want to dive in?
I mean, I can go if you want. I'm doing Villa.
No, yeah, go on then.
Yeah, so I've written quite a few names down for Villa and a couple for Chelsea, but I'm not 100%. Well, I'm not 100% anyway. But I've decided to go with someone who I'm almost certain played for Villa. I think they played when they were younger. They're a Brummy themselves. And this week, while I'm on the defending FA Cup replays, they had a big rant on Twitter calling for like people to take up arms against the FA and all that. So I'm going to go for Stan Collymore.
He also said today that he thinks that none of them were penalties against Everton yesterday.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah. Premier League have just released a statement about Forest slagging them off as well, like saying like they're going to investigate, yeah.
Take more points off than the scabs.
Collymore went there towards the end of his career, didn't he? I think, Sean, am I right in saying, yeah?
Oh, did he? I thought it was the other way around.
No, I think he might be low, because I think he, when he was having his problems, he went there. But
So it's all Ulrika Johnson's fault?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Is she Swedish as well?
She is. Yeah. It all comes together.
Anyone going out to IKEA soon?
Bob, do you want to go or?
You know what? When there was the suggestion of if a player had played for both adding the appearances together.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Oh, I think so.
Oh, whoa. We're throwing curveballs in here.
Why are you saying you can't? No.
I thought that was going to be a season two.
Oh, right. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, no. You're the boss.
I won't do that then. He popped into my head because I saw a clip of him from the Chelsea City game, and there was a Gammon England fan going, "We can't possibly take this fella to the Euros because a terribly wasteful cross from left back." Going Ben Chilwell. So I think he's been there for quite a few years now, but he is very injury prone, so probably hasn't made the number of appearances that he should have in that time.
I really don't like him.
Yeah, he looks like he supports Chillers. Forest. What?
Yeah. That's what they call him, isn't it? Chillers.
He's just the intel, isn't he? Yeah. And also, I think he's rubbish these days as well. I think he was great for Leicester, but yeah.
Too injury prone.
Yeah. Yeah, bit of a Tory as well by the looks of things. My one then, just to wrap up, I struggle with this one. I had a couple of names which I'll mention first. I don't know, I couldn't really think of any current Chelsea players because they don't seem to go anywhere, and I couldn't seem to think of anyone who played for just that short amount of time. Wayne Bridge came into my head because, again, obviously I don't think he was there that long before he was displaced by Ashley Cole. I had in my head that Ballack was only there for like 3 years, but he played in some long campaigns in Europe and things like that. They were probably Champions League final, semi-final most years. I don't think he was a type to have injuries. And the one I've got left, which is a bit random, I don't know, Daniel Sturridge is my thought. That's the one I'm going to go with, because I think, again, my memory is him going from City to there and obviously sort of playing bits and bits, and he seems to come off the bench a lot. So I reckon he'd be less, but I'm thinking a bit like Callum with Hudson-Odoi. I think he'll be just... Yeah, maybe just hopefully slightly less than 100 or slightly over 100. I'm not too sure.
Did he go on loan to Bolton? Or did he
did, yeah. It? Yeah, he went on loan, yeah. But again, I bet you he still was Chelsea fair. I'm banking on being there for 4 or 5 years altogether. But yeah, because like, did Wilshere go on loan at the same time to Bolton, or was that like a year later or something?
I don't know.
Remember Wilshere going there as well. You got the answers, Callum? Am I still reading? Oh, okay. Oh, he's even done the out for me as well. Results are in, so we'll have a quick look in fourth place. 59 appearances, so 53 out. Is Sean with Stan Collymore?
Stan Colley less.
Oh, I like it.
Stan Colley fewer if we're being... if we're...
yeah, but I'm not...
In third place is Daniel Sturridge, 96 with 16 out. Just going to make a note in the slush puppy just so I've got it there. So the final two, both really good guesses, 114 out and 16 out. 14 out with 126 is Callum Hudson-Odoi, which means Ben Chilwell is 106 and 6 out. So a very good guess that from Bob. That's why he's the leader. The best in the business. He's the best in the business.
Great shout.
Yeah, fair play. Another win for Bob. Will he have broke? Does he break up to 100 points there now, Sean? Or
I think he's on 99, maybe.
Am I just pack in there?
Oh yeah, we said I think if we got him bang on, he'd go there, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So if you'd have said him in a few weeks, Bob, you'd have been right.
I reckon, Bob, you could miss the whole of next season. I still probably won't catch you.
Could we do that then? I just won't guess and see where you get to.
Yeah.
Bob.
Or you could let Sean guess for you. It'd probably be similar.
That's not a bad idea. Just Richard Goff every week.
Who was your player, Bob? The double? Got to play for both?
Oh, Ross Barkley.
So I'll check it.
Oh, it's a good shout as well.
Because he was on the books at Chelsea for quite a few
probably
years.
He's probably played about 25-30 of it because he was a season. He would have been injured, wouldn't he? That's not a bad shout. If Callum Odoi plays 1-2-6 times for Chelsea.
FA Cup and League Cup, he probably made the bulk of his Chelsea appearances in those competitions. And...
Yeah. 100 for Chelsea, 24 for Villa.
That's been good, that's
up. Okay, so 35 games played. Let's look at this week's leaderboard. Bob's still at the top. He's so close to breaking a big number. He's got 99 problems, but a pitch ain't one. Yeah, I'll probably edit that out. He's on 99. Tosh in second. He's on 88. Callum, not far behind at all, on 80. And then Sean on 61.
If I get to 100, you've got to get to 69, Sean.
I mean, surely I'll get to 69. No, I might not, actually, by the end of the year. Right? Four games left or something.
So, thank you very much for listening in to this week's Keeping Up Appearances podcast. As always, please head over to our Twitter account and engage with our Maroon 5 poll of best career longevity. Some good cases put forward there. We had a great Any Given Saturday with some fantastic shouts. And Bob was great and won our Keeping Up Appearances game once again. Staying to 99 points, close to the 100 mark. What a couple of days it's been for Bob. Personal best in a marathon and then right up there with Keeping Up Appearances. As we said before, if you can, please head over to our Twitter as well and donate to Bob's marathon cause. I'm sure he would appreciate it and they would appreciate it very much. But other than that, we will see you guys next week.
Bob, did you find out whether it was Seamus Coleman?
Oh, yeah. We should have mentioned that earlier, shouldn't we? So there has been a donation to the page, somebody claiming to be Seamus Coleman, and I don't for one second believe that it's the man himself. So if anyone wants to own up to that, feel free to do so.
I'll claim that I did make the donation.
It doesn't say how much it is, though, does it?
No.
That's the type of man he is.
Exactly. What a fella.
I do think it's written as he would write it. So it's either him or
from
you.
From Seamus Coleman.
What?
It's either him or you. I reckon
I've just got one in from Paul McCartney here as well.
So you're going to say Paul Shana?
Should have said that.
Also,
20 quid from Jamie Jones.
Next week, lads, we'll be off the back of a stellar performance.
Have I got to get I know you've said this all along, you murder me. Have I got to get black shorts and socks? Yeah.
I mean, how many times do I have to write that in the.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the derby.
No, I meant us.
I am going to have to play the Ashley Young role. I'm not going to lie.
Why? Because you're
three penalties away.
Yeah. I'll do a good post match interview, though.
Yeah.
And a good tweet.
legend.
Hopefully a bird will in your mouth as well.
It's not what Callum does on the island.
Oh my God. Right.
Sorry.
I'm going to go anyway on that note.
It's not got too much for Tosh.
I'll see you later.
Good. See you later, guys.
See you later.
See you later. Bye.